Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it is still morning.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
That's worse than that side. How are you? Very blessed, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not trying to trick you. No. Okay, but I want to do an exercise. You want to do an exercise with me? Oh, no, we're not going to do Father Abraham. We're not going to do that. We're a little too young for that. Oh, nobody said anything on that one, right? Yeah. Okay. I need you to do something for me. I have 10 cards in each hand. Okay? What happened to those speedsters that were going zigzagging all the way through here?
They disappear every time.
Well, no, I see two of my friends, but they always, and they look like they remember me. Their heads went down like this. All I need is 10 people from each side to take a card. Then all I got to do is pass out a card. I only ask for the speedsters because they get a lot of, oh, okay. There you go. You answered my prayer. All right. These are the not so fast people. Okay. And whoever wants a card, you know, you can have one. Take one. It's a blank card. You're just going to have to write something on it. Okay. How many of you know me besides my friend back in the back? Oh, okay. So I'm not new to your church. Before you had this church, you had another church that goes back many years. And so I was in and out of there, so I am considering this all family. We're going to talk about something today. It's going to be you and me, all right? Okay, it's going to be about me, all right? Okay, it's going to be about me and God, all right? But, okay, but I want you to join in. Now, everybody got a card? 10 of you got a card? So there's 20 cards to go out? Come on, come on. It's not going to hurt. Good student right there. Good student right there. Okay, good student right there. They got a pen? You got more cards? Nobody don't want to take, how many cards you got left? A few? There you go. All right. They got to have pens now. They got to have something to write with. Because
one more.
One more. There you go. Okay. Now, this is very easy for you. Okay? Very easy for you. I'm going to do the sermon. You're going to listen. Okay? All right? If you don't like something I said or don't like the sermon, you can write whatever you want on a card. Okay? I'm a big guy. That doesn't bother me. All right? I only want to test the effectiveness of the material that comes from my mouth that God has given me out. And you know what that means? Just how well you're listening and what you're listening to. Okay? You don't put your name on it or anything like that. See, it's very hard for us to know if we've been effective with the person. Now, the message may only be good for two or three of you, or one. It may be good for all of you. Okay? You may say, I've heard that before, and that may drive you closer to knowing that God is still busy, okay? Now, I don't know all of you, okay? So there's no need for you to think that, oh, I get this card, I got some secret code I could put on it, and I find out where you live and who your boyfriend is or whatever. I don't have that. That is just you being honest with me when you write them up. And I do this for a lot of people. And I don't come back and say anything about it other than, oh, that was very interesting. Very interesting, and it helped me. Okay? So, now, let us bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, His Son, Jesus Christ, interceding, and the third entity of the Godhead working on us now here on earth. We love You, we trust You, we come before You to bring praise, honor, and glory unto Thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the sermon is Highway of Hopelessness. Did I get that right? Holiness. Thank you. Thank you. I got another one with hopelessness. Holiness. Holiness. How many of you think you're holy? Why? Why do you not think you're holy? You're human. Yes, you've been human for over 6,000 years. So why don't you see yourself as being holy? You're all sinners, okay? But isn't God tell you that the hope is in you, in Him, through you? Isn't it coming to you? Huh? So why can't you be a holy person? I didn't say absolute holy, right? Holy, right? God's holy, you're holy. What makes God holy? Don't say He's without sin. You don't know what makes God holy? If you don't know what makes God holy, how can you be holy? Because He's given it to you. Is He not? Well, I'm trying to tell you that. Okay? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what does that make you? A holy person. See, it has nothing to do with what people see or what you're looking at or what people think of you. It has to do with what you think of yourself. Okay? Now, here's where we're going to go. We're going to go back a little bit, and we're going to talk about the fascination that humanity has with death. You know how many times people try to kill themselves in a day? Yeah. You ever dart out in front of a car and run across the street? Whoa, I just made it. No? Never don't do it? Okay. For the younger ones. Do you do that? Now, huh? What about when we get up and decide we're going to do some things? How many of you still clean gutters? And yeah, see? Things that if you're only 5 feet off the floor, off the ground, and you fall and hit your head, you can kill yourself. Did you know that? Did you know this? If you're standing on a roof, looking down, you always say you're a long ways up, but you're only 7 feet off the ground. So if you're 5'7", 5'10" or so, you got that other 5 foot, right, because where's your head? So it makes it look very deep when you're falling down, looking down there, right? So, but we do take chances, don't we? Nobody goes up the gutters. Don't do any gutters. Nobody went out to the house and seen a branch over there and reach over there and try to get it, right? And then the wise one, the wife said, what are you doing? Trying to hurt yourself? And then you guys say masculinity, like, no, I can handle it. Until what? You come in the house and she told, I told you so. And then how does that ring for you? You don't know what to say then, right? So just say, tell them you love them, okay? All right, now, let's move along. See, on one hand, death is a result of us, Did God tell us not to eat, how to eat properly, what to do properly? Okay? So, do you think we, in our lives, start off committing suicide by eating the stuff that we shouldn't eat? Think about it. Think about it. Let's go on. Let's go on, okay? But on the other hand, God starts us out with a message that tells us about death. You must die to sin. Is that not true? Okay, so death is a thing that is interesting, right? So how do you avoid hurting yourself or injuring yourself? God tells us, he tells us very clearly, and he says to us that in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, 22, and 23, says, "For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his going on." God watches you, okay? He goes on, his own iniquity. Iniquity is where? In the atmosphere? In us. Okay? Now, ask yourself, who was the first one in Ezekiel or Isaiah, one of the two, that said that God told that iniquity was in you? Lucifer, wasn't it? Said the iniquity was in you, right? Okay? Because of your beauty, and you were all lifted up, right? Now ask yourself. You get a new suit, get a new outfit, you walk around and what? You look in the mirror, who do you see? That's me. That's me. That's that cool guy, right? All over an outfit, right? Now ask yourself, how many times do we look at ourselves and say, hey, that's the Christ in me I see? And then there was silence. How many times do we ask God to show us his beauty, but yet we don't ask him to show us beauty radiating after out of us? Do we do that? Does he forbid us from doing that? No, right? Did you know how beautiful Job was? Stay with me now. What did God say for Job? Ask the devil, where are you going? To and fro, looking who I can mess with. And God says, try my servant Job, right? And he told Job about all the characteristics. I told the devil about all the characteristics about Job, right? Job didn't even know it, right? So now I want to go back. Aren't you holy before God? Yes, right? But somehow we allow death to get the big hand on us. Let's go on now. Death and sin set our framework for us. Do you know that? Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, right? And the wages of sin is, and the gift of God is. So we have been bombarded with all the outskirts things that go on in the humanity cycle of people being killed and everything, that we lose sight of who is really in control. Do you know you took on a baptism that says that even as you go along, doesn't mean you're going to die a easy death? You may be a martyr. You may be killed. Y'all didn't sign up for that? Wait a minute, did I paralyze and scare everybody? No, these are actual facts that we do not pay attention to in our life. But we're always asking God to do what? Give me more. And he gives us more, right? Sometimes we don't know when he's giving us the warning to turn around and go the other way. But why do we do that? Why do we do that? Now, the Spirit himself personally implements the transformation of our character unto the image of Christ and employs us to live lives of sacrificial service. Sounds like we should be some happy people, don't it? Y'all are really looking at me and saying, what is this guy? He's all over the place. No, I'm just telling you about yourself and me. And I'm telling you what? Everything I'm telling you, God has already given to you. He set it up there for us. But we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that thing is so hard to deal with that sometimes it's more comfortable to lay back and allow it to manifest itself. But what God tells us, sin and the Lord can't occupy the same place, right? And as a child of the Lord, are you with me? These things that I'm going over with you and saying to you, we should be looking for, asking for, praying about, that we may be able to impart them to other people. You ever have somebody come up to you and say, you must be a Christian? And what do you say? Hallelujah! No, you stop and say, well, yes, I am. Like you're afraid. That person just seen what?
Something different.
Case in point. You're still with me, right? In the Old Testament, there was this king, all part, his name named Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a part of God's plan, king from the north, to take Israel, because Israel was being punished because they were not following what God had to say. And then there were three Hebrew boys, right? Were there three or four? Okay. All right. Who were they? And who was Daniel? Thank you. I'm just having fun with you, right? The Bible says three Hebrew boys, but we know that they were what? Four, right? They all were in the party. Okay. But they go up, they're caught, they stand up and say what they're not going to eat on their health pathway, right? Okay. Now, the eunuch, I think it was, okay, trusted it and went and gave them what they needed to have. And what happened? God showed up in them from their eating habits, right? Do you know how many conversations you have when you're out eating and somebody says, oh, you don't eat meat? Doors open. And then when they say, why? Do you say because of my religious belief or anything like that? What do you tell them? Don't be afraid. What do you say? Sometimes if you're caught off guard, you say nothing. Right. So now is that an opportunity missed? On God's part? On the Holy Spirit's part? Like the third entity of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit, now is working in us. But are we listening? And how are we listening? Okay? Now I know you're all feeling guilty now. Don't feel guilty. It's the way we're made. It's what sin does to us. But the more that God can occupy, what happens? The more you become beholding, right? You think he just haphazardly say, try Job? Job was going on about his business. You know what? It is said that If Job, if the devil knew what he was going to have to tackle with Job, he would have left Job alone. Think about that. Did he get a victory over Job? The wildest things happened to Job. Family being taken away, all his money. I don't know if his wife left him or not, but I don't think that God would do something like that, the wife. But in the end, he was replenished with even more. So I want to ask you, how do you get ready for something like that? But you can ask for it. We all have a time. Now, think about it. Everybody who's died had a certain time they died, especially if it's major, minor prophets or people in the Lord, right? How many of you seen go fighting? No. They went singing songs. They went praising the Lord. Okay? Did Paul know that when he went to Rome, he was going to die? Just raise your hand and say yes. That's why they cried for him. He said, "You won't see me anymore." What did Jesus say when he said when he was going down to Jerusalem? "You won't see me anymore." Don't you want to ask God that if you die or if you come upon dying, may you be faithful to him all the way through? Boy, I can't get you guys to be happy about anything that's going on. It is actually going on in our life, right? You can pray ahead of time that if you lost your spouse, that you don't the grievement stays there so long. See, the devil has a way of having things in place that no matter if it's going to the glory of God or if it's not, he's looking for death for you. The devil is looking for death. So those are his traps. Ask yourself. Okay? A preacher friend of mine, and I'm going to get back to Nebuchadnezzar. His name was Admiral Black, Rear Admiral Black. Most of you know him. You should know him. Chaplain for the Senate and all those guys up there. Barry Black. Okay, he said at one of our retreats, for marriage retreats, he said he had a friend that was whose wife had died. Okay, he said, and this friend, he said he found very interesting, because this friend, his wife, he loved his wife dearly, okay, but when his wife died, now it sounds crazy, but it is factual, okay? He said, he's lamenting his wife, said, but before they got the body deeply into the grave, he had already spotted somebody. I know, I hear, oh God, how could they do that? And he said, I prayed to ask God, ask the Lord to give me strength to move forward. Okay? Now, him and that person talked to each other and they got married maybe 3-4 years later. Okay? But he had spotted somebody. All right? And you know what's interesting about that? He had prepared for it by asking. Now, that didn't mean he went over there and they went out to dinner and all of that stuff. It took a while because she was somewhat resistant too. So they had to work through it. You follow me? And they worked through a relationship, and through that relationship, they ended up marrying. Now, did that sound like a bad plan? It didn't sound too good when it came out and they said before the grave was full, he spotted somebody. Now, Chaplain Black was doing a counseling session for all of us that were at the retreat. And when he got done with that portion, everybody was silent. And then you know what people did? They started talking to each other. Well, honey, what would you do if it happened to me? All right? Some people grieve themselves into what? Bad health. Bad health. You see, and you hear what I'm saying? But why should Christians do that? Now back to Nebuchadnezzar, quickly. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar has these dreams and the statue and all of that sort of stuff and everything. And Nebuchadnezzar was selected by God to come down out of the north and do all of these things to Israel. And then all of a sudden, all right, Nebuchadnezzar does his usual thing and he flares up. At the same time, God was taking him to become a Christian, in a sense, okay? He was fighting it back. So what happens? They get together, they tell a lie, and then all of a sudden the three Hebrew boys, all right, are tied up and thrown in a furnace, that the furnace is so hot that it burned up the people that threw them in. Now, you know that must have been hot. Really hot, right? But then to the surprise to everybody, who is there, the king of the land, Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, didn't we throw in three? There's four, and one looks like the Son of God. How did he know that? Huh? See? I'm gonna have fun with this fellow now. Okay? Okay. The Bible says he looked at it, said, didn't we throw in three? And there were four. Now who's gonna tell him? One of the four in there?
Son of God.
Even with the two prior.
Okay. Witness to prior, okay? But they didn't know the Son of God was coming. This is Old Testament. Now I got your attention. Remember the dream. He could not remember everything, but Daniel told him everything, right? Now, when he came back and that dream had came back to him, what do you think was added in that dream? A glimpse, just like, remember on the road to Damascus? Okay. Who showed up for Paul? And Christ called him what? Lord, and he never seen him until then, right? What do you think the Spirit of the Lord has been doing? Even at that time, the Spirit has always been busy. Thank you. Has always been busy. Even with Nebuchadnezzar. And part of his dream, he got a glimpse that he realized who was there when he seen him in the fire. God gives us a glimpse of our future, some of our past and things that we've done, and he brings it back to our memory. The Spirit brings it back to our memory. You have never had something like that? You couldn't remember, and then all of a sudden you see it, and you see it in its fullness, and you just realize, wow. Wow. You haven't had anything like that happen, huh? How did you meet each other? Some of you lovebirds in here. You see? Think about it. And how many of you felt that, oh, I swept her off her feet when she said no? I spotted him and started working on him long before he even knew it. See, none of you men want to say anything, but look at those ladies chuckling. You think you swept me off my feet. But they had, had put you in a position that they had observed you well. Because they came with challenges for you. If I'm going to marry you, you're not going to be doing this, 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 and 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 this. And you're coming in, right? You're coming in because you're happy that you're going, yeah, 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 yeah. None of you men want to, you don't want to own up to that, huh? All right. So I'll tell you why you don't want to own up to it. Because how long you've been married. Because you know, yes, I let go of all of those things. Yes, I love her so. Uh-oh, somebody's whispering in somebody's ear over there. So that means, do you remember those times, honey? Think about it. What has God given us? Didn't he give us all of this stuff? Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar says that, right? Right, right? The Hebrew boys. Okay? God in the Old Testament. But does God leave Nebuchadnezzar alone? No. Nebuchadnezzar got this other outbreak that he want to go out there and he's going to be the toughest guy in the world and all of that. And then what did God tell him? He was telling him something. And he says, okay, you will eat grass for 7 years. God's pretty persistent, right? He ate grass for 7 years, but what happened to his kingdom? Not a thing. You see how God protects us? Even when we don't even know it? Not a thing happened to his kingdom. Nobody usurped his kingdom. But when he came out of that out there, he said, there is no other God but the God of who? Daniel. Daniel, do you know some things that we're asking for are just trivial? We don't really need it. When's the last time you asked God for food? But how? It's true. But how many times have you made up your mind that even what you desired that you want, you didn't want at that time, you could go to the refrigerator and change up real quick? We can't even make up our mind seriously what we want for food because we got choices. We got unlimited amount of choices. And in our life, we got a bunch of choices. But I'm saying to you, don't let the choices wipe out what God is doing for you. Don't let the choices wipe out what God is doing for you. Now I'm going to take you to one last walk, and we're going to close out. And that walk is we're going to go to the time in which this handsome, sinless guy, beautiful wife, sinless too, walked away from him for no apparent reason, and then came back to him and told him, I have had an eye-opening experience. Who was that? You're on the ball for that one, right? Adam and Eve, right? Okay, now, how did that situation go? Huh? How did that situation go? Why did it go no good? Okay, you got, remember I told you holy state, non-holy state? Who was in a holy state? Both of them, right? Who moved from a holy state to an unholy state? One of them, right? And the other one came up, and you're telling me the other one couldn't tell? Never thought about that, huh? Think about it. Sin cannot tarry in the sight of a holy person. Why? Because it interrupts all of their sensibility to what goodness is. Why do you think you rebels, even though you see a person and they may be holy, but their appearance is so drab that you suddenly realize, I got to think about that person. Okay? And you go the other way. All right? What happened with them both was very simple. They were told not to do what? Eat, right? Okay, let me go. Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree and of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now that was laid out for them. So what were they dealing with? Come on. What we're not dealing with, a moral issue. When we're dealing with God, moral issue comes up. Did you ever think about that? Matter of fact, some of the Sabbath school lessons should have been about that also. A moral issue. Because if you're moving towards immortality, right? Are we not? Okay? You're fighting off mortality. You see what I mean? Okay. Where they came in entanglement was Adam had to make one of the most difficult decisions in his whole life. And remember, we all say, for God, I'll live, for God, I'll die. Now think of Adam. Without sin, his wife sinful, and he chose what? He willingly chose the opposite, right? So why am I saying that to you? Because this world of sin, okay, has such a hold on us that only God can remove the iniquity from us. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It is nothing we can do to pull us out of it. It's God pulling us out. And what is he saying? I want to occupy in your soul, but I can't occupy until we move something out. In Sabbath school, they were talking about the lesson about sin, and people were saying, "Well, there's still sin in me." Okay, God can't come in until that's out, right? Okay? How many of you praying that it moves out? You don't include that? Iniquity is a very bad thing. Use it in your prayers. Open your eyes that he may let you see the eye salves and the things that are needed. Okay? So you stay on target for what you want. Now, how did... Over to Moses. How did Moses get to see the glory of God? Okay, let's go back and look. All right, when it came time, he said Moses is going to die. Right? Moses died. They buried him. Nobody knew where it was, but the angels that God had told where to bury him. Okay, but when did Moses show up again? On the Mount of what? And what was Moses? A holy being, right? You can't not be in heaven and pop up in heaven as a part-timer. Okay? So something happened. And when you read about something that was happening, God hid the body and dug the body up and took Moses to heaven. Now, what was Moses claimed that he wanted from God? Lord, show me your glory. And what did he say about the glory? You cannot see my glory in your state of being. So he put his hand over him, and he seen God's backside go by. And then when he came down out of there, what happened? What did the people do? They were afraid because of what? His face was what? a goal, right? Now, do you think God has given all of those things out that we can't do them here on earth? Sister White would go into what? Trance. And she'd come back and she'd tell you things and she'd write things down. You got a prophet that you believe in, but you yourself don't believe in everything that's coming out. And that's not me lording over you. It's me as part of you saying, we got all this proof. Have I said anything that wasn't true to you? If I did, I'm sorry, but I don't believe I did. Everything that I tied back to who? Him in whom we believe. But at this particular time, we are looking and we should be seeking God to ratify in us that stableness. Even Paul knew who Jesus was because he called him his Lord, okay? Now, people don't usually call somebody their Lord right off the bat, but they recognize. Ask God to give us strength to recognize these things so that we're not pulled to and fro, so that we can have authority when we stand up before people at the time in which things are waxing worse and worse. Some of us is going to go through it and some of us are not, because they're not going to be able to go through it. So why wait to see how it's going to come out? Why not ask? Moses asked, right? What happened to David? Think about David. David was one of the meanest men that you can think of. David did some horrific things, okay? From a dad to being taken another person's wife to a warrior. That's why they called him a what? Bloody man. That's why he could not build the temple. Okay? But David repented of all of those things. And David was labeled as what? A man after my own heart. So can you get answers from the Lord? Absolutely. But I'm not saying your prayers are wrong. I'm saying we need to ask for the fortification to be able to indulge these times and do the things that we need to do. Okay? Why? Because I cannot find a substitute or any reason for these folks not being anything but love of God when it came time for them to die. You understand that? And remember under the altar, the angels were saying, how long, Lord, how long? That all has an effect on us. That's all part of us. But I leave you with, if we don't look to claim it, if we don't ask God to show and give us strength, we're going to be struggling. When it came time to die, the individuals were not crying. They were doing more singing and praising the Lord. Haven't you read that? Okay? They wasn't fighting or anything like that. Even when they sold them in skins and sent the wild dogs and animals after them. They got a cruel way. No. It was a gentleman, okay, me and my military buddy back there. We came to the conclusion, we find a horrible way as America to kill human beings. There are big bullets, little bullets, bullets that go through a whole block, bullets that hit you a mile away. We're experts at killing humanity. So why don't we become experts at seeking what God's seeking for us? An opportunity to see him in his fullness. And just like just like Moses, some of us may rise up at a time when needed. I don't want you to go away feeling sad. I want you to just think about those things that we don't ask for because either we don't know them or we're not paying attention to them. Either we're just caught up too much in how this world is going. Because most of what we're doing now is what? Trying to survive. Trying to survive. Okay? Instead of realizing, and in our church, meaning that we're separate we're separated in union, not the union. Yeah, we're separated with unions, or we're separated by what? Conferences. Okay, we're separated by conferences. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. But the message is the same. The message is the same. If we're going to survive, we're going to survive that way. We're going to survive that way. And the reason why we got these books that are coming through and it's going over everything that's happening in the last days and from the crucible thing all the way through what we're going through now, it's telling us, people get ready. Okay? You remember that one? The train is coming, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the door and board them. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Some of you never heard that, huh? Wow. It even tells you there's no hope for the hopeless sinner, one who will hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, because there's no hiding place when the King has come. People get ready. Father God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was more difficult than I thought, but it's a lot easier now. For even when I look at some of the things that were said and came forth, I was fearful. And I pray, O Lord, that hearts are open and I have not caused anybody any pain or undue hardship. But there's more to you than we can ever fathom. And we are going to be your jewels in heaven. Even the angels are waiting to understand this situation of the people that came through what you went through. And we are those people, Lord. Your jewels, when asked for, where are your jewels? Then you will put us to work, letting the unfallen worlds know and share in the experience that we had here on earth. Thank you, O Lord, and bless each and every one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.